Our Bible reading today is from John chapter 20 and verses 1 to 18, and it will be read by Sarah Green. Over to you, Sarah, to read our Bible reading.
Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she went over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascended to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her.
Let us pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we have heard your word read, so may it now become clear to us, so that we would rejoice in all you have done for us in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. In his precious name we ask it. Amen. They say there are some things you have to see to believe, and that's clearly the case. And in our modern world, with its modern technology, that is clearly easier than in many previous generations. And how thankful we are for the modern technology that allows us to do all that we are doing today. Isn't it a wonderful thing? And yet, there are many things we believe because someone has told us. We trust the account of the eyewitnesses. And that's absolutely right. So, for instance, I never knew our country before World War II, but members of our congregation and members of my family who did have talked to me about those days, and they have eyewitness accounts, which I'm very happy to believe to be true. As we look at John's account of the resurrection, we will see what the eyewitnesses saw, see why they believed, and what believe that Jesus was alive. See to hear how too we can believe, not because we have seen the risen Jesus, but because the eyewitnesses help us. They help us because we can trust what they say they saw. To say that we had to be there to believe Jesus is alive is, of course, the height of folly. We believe many things, although we weren't there. We believe that there was a Battle of Hastings in 1066 and none of us were there. We believe there was a Reformation of the church in England and Europe some 500 years ago or so. And there was. We believe there was a Great Fire of London in 1666, although none of us were there to see it. And this morning, as we think about the resurrection, we can rejoice, not because we were there, but because we can believe it happened, not as a leap of faith, but because we trust God and those who saw the risen Jesus. What then does John tell us? After all, he can tell us much of those days. The first thing he tells us is that the resurrection causes confusion. Verse 1, early on the first day of the week, when it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Notice that John calls this the first day of the week. Normally, wouldn't have been the case, as the Sabbath, the Saturday, would have been called the first day of the week. John perhaps wants us to see from the very beginning that the world has changed. The events we are going to look at will be earth-shatteringly important. We live in a world where people constantly tell us the world has changed, and it absolutely have. COVID-19 has made the world a very different place, but it pales into insignificance when we think of the difference the resurrection of Jesus makes. And so John tells us that this is the first day of the week to tell us that we are in a new world. But notice the day starts with confusion. Mary Magdalene voices the confusion of the women when she tells Peter and John, "He's gone, we don't know where." Notice that the idea of the resurrection does not cross her mind. She assumes the body has been taken by whom she does not know and where she does not know. The truth is, as she sees the empty tomb and is confused, and clearly, just as a bit of an aside, it means the disciples are not involved in the disappearance, otherwise John and Peter wouldn't go to the tomb. At first sight, confusion reigns on that resurrection morning, and who can blame them? It is such a world-changing event that it was unsurprising that they were confused. Unfortunately, today, some still seem to be confused. But that's not the end of the story. The confusion doesn't end the story, because the resurrection means believing. Verse 3. So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus's head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. The account is written in such a way that we will understand and be sure that it's an eyewitness account. Notice the description of the race to the tomb, the details of all that happens there. There is massive detail. So we'll hear about how John arrives first, looks from the outside, Peter comes behind. Bit of a slower runner, him, but he doesn't stop. He runs in. And then there are the details about the linen. And then that final statement. The other disciple who had reached the tombs first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Why does the Apostle John believe? Because he saw. The evidence of his own eyes, the empty tomb, the linen cloths, it was what he saw that caused him to believe. And then John adds that verse about they hadn't understood the scripture. The reason he wants us to know that is that they hadn't expected this. because they'd understood the scriptures. He believed because of what he saw in the tomb. He wants us to realize that it was the evidence of his own eyes that caused him to believe, not some sudden spiritual flash of inspiration. Now, we cannot see as John saw and believe, but we can know that there is a good eyewitness evidence that means that we can believe that Jesus rose again. We can be certain that the resurrection happened, not because we see it, but because the eyewitness evidence is so strong. Friends, on this Easter day, we rejoice that disciples and over 500 others were able to see and believe. But we rejoice too that we who could not see can still believe because of the eyewitnesses. I was involved in an event where we did a play about the resurrection, and as we did that, somebody came up to me afterwards and pinned me literally to the wall and accused us of being arrogant, and she shouted at me. The next day she came and saw me and apologised, and we got into conversation, and over the next few weeks we got into those conversations and we talked about the resurrection, and she looked at the evidence and she went, "Oh, it's true." I reminded her that she accused me of being arrogant when I said that, and she blushed a little. But from that day on, she grew to be a fine Christian young lady. Today, let's be confident. Don't be shy about speaking of the resurrection. The evidence stands up. Death was defeated, victory assured. But if the resurrection means believing, it also means belonging. Now Mary stood out of the tomb crying, verse 11. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus's body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. Now, the disciples, in a rather cavalier way, seem to return to the others, leaving Mary none the wiser. Jesus, though, as ever, meets her need. He meets her need to know that he's alive. And although there are many things we don't know, like why she didn't recognise him at first, was that the tears or was it God shutting her eyes? What is clear is that she hasn't moved from her original misunderstanding. It's only when Jesus says that one word, "Mary," that everything is transformed. And Jesus tells her then not to cling on to him. That's the force of the word "hold." It seems very likely that she's clinging on to him for dear life, fearing that Jesus is going to go away immediately. Mary does not need to fear his immediate disappearance. I think some of the most tragic pictures these days as we go through the virus is seeing people who have to hold on to loved ones because they are not sure if or when they'll ever see them again. It's such a tragic thing, isn't it? Heartrending when we see it. That's the picture here. Mary grasps on so tight because she is unsure. She fears that Jesus is going to go away. But actually, that's not the most extraordinary thing here. Listen to what Jesus says. "Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Remember, the disciples have all deserted Jesus. They've all failed him. They've all abandoned him. That's what happens in the run-up and on Good Friday. And yet here, early on Easter Sunday morning, see what he calls them. Go instead to my brothers. How they must have rejoiced to hear such word. Because of the cross and the resurrection, they are now Jesus's brothers, members of his family. But there was even more to come. Jesus says, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Notice the amazing graciousness of God in this, of Jesus in this. He could have said, I'm ascending to my Father. That would have been perfectly true. But he makes sure that they and we know that they and we belong to the family, to God's family. God is not just Jesus's Father, he is theirs as well. And therefore Jesus is their brother. They belong. And if we trust in Jesus, if we trust in his resurrection, we belong too. Isn't that an amazing truth for this Easter Sunday morning? That by the Spirit of God, we can know that God is our Father and Jesus is our brother. We belong. What confidence that brings. What security. We live in a world that feels so much more insecure than it ever did. But we belong to God's family. What security that brings. What a privilege it is to know that Jesus' Father is our Father and our brother is the risen, ascended Lord Jesus. Rejoice and be glad this morning that if you trust in Jesus, you too belong to the best family in the world, God's family. It is of a great joy to me that actually we have such a family at Christ Church St Andrews, part of God's family. I've been very struck. I was talking to somebody even today, as we before I recorded, I was talking to him and we were talking about an exit strategy so that church would happen as soon as it possibly could. And he said, because church is my family. That's the way we feel when we become part of God's family. We know we belong. That's why it's amazing when we travel across the world to visit other churches. I had the privilege of going to Kenya. It makes such a difference because as soon as you arrive, you know you belong. We belong. We have God as Father, Jesus as our brother. No wonder we should rejoice. And as we conclude, we hear that Mary Magdalene tells them what Jesus had told her. She is willing to be obedient to what God has asked her to do. On this Easter Sunday, may we commit ourselves again to be obedient to what God has called us to do. But may we rejoice that the resurrection is true. There is good evidence, and that because of that, we belong to the family of God. With God as our Father, as Jesus as our brother, if we simply trust in him. Let's have a moment's quiet and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that the resurrection happened. But we thank you that because of that, we can belong to your family, that your Father is our Father. And for Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are our brother. We pray that in your mercy and grace, these truths will thrill us in the days ahead. In Jesus' name, Amen.